Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, I believe this was the answer one day, as judged by us, for the best start to a song ever, right?
I believe so. Yes.
It is unique.
It's so good.
I don't think I voted for that. Well, best start for a song ever? I wouldn't vote.
Yeah, we had this as a side topic.
It's into it now, but like those first 5 or 7 seconds are just...
No, I wouldn't vote for that.
Well, maybe you got
Child
outvoted.
Slight Return wasn't
on
there?
Well, I think you took that.
Yeah, you got
it. It was a side topic.
Yeah, you got outvoted.
No, I think you took Voodoo Child as your answer on the side topic.
Yeah,
so thus it was not available to win.
Don't do that there, John. Don't do that.
Bad job, I mean.
Hey, that's definitely what you would do.
Something Ruben Amaro said yesterday, we're going to get to in just a moment. Also, ridiculous audio from the U.S. Congress yesterday related to the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to that in a moment. Prior to that, let me just say, John, you know how you start every show with a fact of the day? Mm-hmm. I heard a fact yesterday I found so different that I thought, all right, I gotta share this one with you. So the astronauts, when they go up to the moon in the 60s, what could they not get that's like a good thing for a 40 or a 50-year-old to have? Maybe they were 30s.
What could they not get?
What could they not get that someone who's getting up there a little bit might want to try to get for their families? Life insurance.
Oh,
okay? Geez. Nobody would insure them.
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
pretty logical,
which insurance company? Yeah, you're going to the moon? Oh, yeah, sure.
Sure.
We'll
no
give
precedent.
You a policy.
Yeah, no problem.
So what do these guys do before they go to the moon? They sign a ton of autographs and hand them to their wives and say, if we die, sell the autographs.
Wow. It's really smart.
Isn't that amazing?
It's genius.
That's really smart.
I thought that was a cool fact. And apparently that went on for multiple missions. The astronauts, before leaving Earth, would sign a bunch of autographs, leave them with their family.
Hold on.
Of course, if they had died.
So that was their form of life insurance.
The value would have gone up probably even more because they'd be like heroes for having risked what they risked and died.
So is there a hangar somewhere that just has hundreds of thousands of like 8x10s?
I'm sure they probably sold them eventually, right? They probably sold them eventually.
If they're Pete Rose. Pete Rose would be,
but how much do autographs really go for? Like, how much?
Well, they went to the moon.
A Neil Armstrong autograph picture.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like a thing, you know?
Okay, so just like that core group. But any astronaut now, like, I don't know.
Oh, and now's a different deal.
Right.
But back then, they were the heroes.
Right.
I mean, that was, anyway.
It's like a tin can they're flying
into. It's ridiculous.
It's absurd what
All right,
they did.
Absurd or not, what Ruben Amaro Jr. said on our show yesterday.
Maybe absurd.
Well, you'd be the judge. Ultimately, history will be the judge. I mean, the reality is the next 5 to 8 to 10 years will be the judge. Ruben Amaro said something yesterday that surprised me. He thinks, well, let's listen in his own words. Here's what Ruben said.
In its totality, I think that... that he is going to be the best player that ever played here.
Hold on a second.
Whoa!
Let's
and I love Schmidt because Schmidt's my idol, right? Schmidt's my idol. I think if he stays healthy and you know he's got some back tweaks and things like that, I think at some point he may end up being the best player ever played because he's probably got a pretty good chance of being an MVP multiple times still.
That's an amazing statement. What
because
you just
if
said.
He is an MVP multiple times in this era, I mean, he's already been there twice. If he gets another couple of them, it's hard to deny that.
So he's obviously talking about Bryce. And sorry, I hadn't said that prior to. But yeah, he's talking about Bryce. I was surprised Ruben went there now. 3 or 4 years from now, I think. I mean, listen, is it theoretically possible? Sure, it is. It is possible.
It is possible.
It is unlikely.
Very.
Because of Schmitty's accomplishments?
Especially on the defensive side of things.
James, you go as far as to say very unlikely?
I think it's very unlikely. And look, I think Bryce Harper has a chance to be like an inner circle Hall of Famer. He has a chance to be one of the greats of an era, for sure. He already is.
He already is.
But, I mean, we're talking about there's a starting nine in the history of the sport. 150 years, you get nine guys to start your team. Like, Mike Schmidt's one of the nine. Like, we have one of the
nine.
Doesn't
mean he's one of the nine best players, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But when you take in the 10 gold gloves, the power, the whole thing. Look, if Harper, I think if he wins the World Series and is great on the way to it, then we can start to talk about him in those type of lights. But he's got to get a series to be even in Schmidt's
I'll tell you what would really help him. 2 World Series.
Yeah, well, that would be a massive thing for him. Yeah.
Right? Because that is something Schmitty didn't do. Look, Schmitty had 3 MVPs. Bryce has 2, 1 here. Schmitty had the 8 home run titles. Bryce has had 0 here.
Yeah.
Home run titles.
I don't think he's had any home run titles, period. Maybe his first MVP.
Maybe the one in Washington. Obviously, you talk about all the gold gloves. You know, so
they
keep
playing as effortless as they're playing, where the guys are just doing their job. Then it's not out of, like, what
look,
you're
Bryce
what
has
you're
a shot.
He definitely has a shot.
Is not out of the question.
It's not out of the question. I was just surprised that Ruben went there this early.
And I think the other thing, too, is that Schmidt spent his whole career here. Like it or not, the first 7 years of Harper's career are in Washington. He won an MVP in Washington. It's just hard for him to do at what Schmidt did here because Schmidt never left.
Right. It's like Roy Halladay and Steve Carlton. I mean, you can say Roy Halladay for 2 years was Steve Carlton, but Steve Carlton was Steve Carlton for 15 years.
Exactly. Yes.
So, all right. And by the way, Roy Halladay had a 3rd and I think part of a 4th year, but obviously was not as good at that point. All right, let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson. We got to get to this audio from Congress yesterday as well. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Joe, I'm a little surprised at you. The most famous Mets fan in Philadelphia, and you forgot Ralph Kiner?
That is a bad one, though. Ralph Kiner should have been remembered.
Well, I'll say this. Amy immediately texted me and said Ralph Macchio.
Oh, look, my God.
Someone texted me that, too.
There's a
That's
million.
So Ralph so, Macchio we should have gotten.
Ken, I will say this. I try to move it along quickly. Like, I want to dig down a little bit more, but I also don't want the show to turn into 10 minutes of Ralph's. So, you know.
I met Ralph Macchio.
I do know that.
And yeah, you talked about
it. I felt that his shoulders were some of the narrowest that I had ever seen.
You didn't say this.
Yeah, no. It really was. Like, he was a petite man. Not short. But just slight,
frail,
so slender. I'm not going to say frail. He was maybe the most slender person I'd ever been.
Wow.
Besides
like
Snoop Dogg,
it
was
Snoop Dogg
and
makes
Ralph
sense.
Macchio.
Snoop Dogg's tall.
They're both pretty tall. I mean, I think Ralph Macchio is
like
6'8".
Is he really?
Yeah.
He
made me like 6'1" or 6'2".
He looks so short to me.
All right, Ken. Hello. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry when I started. And Joe, I'm going to say this: if a dog doesn't like you, the problem is you. It's not the dog. So it's just that's just the truest thing.
Yeah,
ever
not accurate.
We should test this. I have a dog. We could test.
I mean, it is true.
Whether it is you,
Ken. Let me make this very clear. I'm at a buddy's house about 10 years ago. I'm just minding my own business. My buddy had an aggressive canine. This dog scratches me so hard through my jeans, my thigh is bleeding. Now that's not my fault.
Weak, man.
That's not my fault.
Scratched you through your jeans,
dude. It got me bad. I was in a bad mood.
Not the dog's fault either. It's your buddy's fault who didn't know how to train the dog.
Well, I agree with that.
I agree with that too. I agree with Kenny. What do you got here on the Gainwell thing?
So before I get to Gainwell and Covey, because I think they're both in the same boat, kind of. Two fun facts on last night's Phillies game. A, the Toronto Blue Jays pitcher came into that game with the lowest ERA in baseball.
That's right.
And it doubled by the time he left the game in the 4th inning. And if you want to have a real chuckle.
No, 3 2/3 innings.
Yeah. Well, in the 4th inning.
You're right. You got it.
And if you want to have a real chuckle, check out Cody Clemens' slug right now. Because every single hit that he's got this year in the major leagues is an extra base hit.
Wow.
So it's just ridiculous. I think Gainwell and Covey are like, you know, two guys who you want to talk about not reading the room.
Yeah.
So Kenny Gainwell opens his mouth a few days after the Eagles drafted a running back who can do all of the same things he can do. Britton Covey goes and the punt returner, and then the Eagles use the 40th pick to draft a guy who, among the many things he does well, is return punts.
Yeah, we got like 16 punt returners now. We really do.
So if there's two guys more expendable on an NFL team right now than Kenny Gainwell and Britton Covey, they've got to be like water boys.
Yeah. Strong point, Ken.
I would like
we
to
didn't
ask
talk
Kenny
about
Gainwell
this that much. The fact that with this new change in rules, it feels like everyone we drafted has some experience at returning either kickoffs or punts. Like they are working that into some plans here.
All right, Ken,
we're going to have reverses and everything else coming off of this.
Ken, give me an answer from a movie, an animal, or from a TV show, an animal in a scene.
Well, first of all, the horse's head in The Godfather was actually a real horse's head, so I'm not sure if you knew that.
Wow.
I don't like that.
Yes.
Super
that's
gross.
They went to the slaughterhouse and they got out.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Stick with me on this one because it's the most important television show, the most impactful television show ever, Seinfeld. And the animal, while never appearing in the scene, is critical to the scene when George Costanza lied about being a marine biologist and wound up retrieving Kramer's golf ball from the blowhole of the whale.
What a great scene.
All right. I don't know that one.
Oh, my God. It's one of the great episodes of the show ever. Yeah.
So if the animal's not in the scene, does it count for being in the
scene? The whole scene's about the animal. He's telling the story. You don't see the animal at all in the episode.
There's no hole.
He just tells the story of it. But he pulls out the golf ball.
All right, let me tell a story of the U.S. Congress. So know this: if I get to the United States Congress, I too will try to represent the Philadelphia Eagles proudly.
But I didn't think you were trying to get to the U.S. Congress.
No, that's the first
higher goals.
No. But Congress, guys, how many times have we been through this?
I know. You're
U.S. Congress
first,
then Pennsylvania governorship, then the cabinet, and then the presidency.
Obviously.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, that's obviously a clear. It's a clear path. My God.
Congress, good thing you've started your path,
James. I have.
How about
you know where it starts?
Where?
Fame. How the hell do you think I'm going to get elected from Philadelphia other than being famous? I'm not saying I'm that famous, but I'm more well-known than the average Joe on the street. So that's
Which House of Congress are you choosing?
The House first, because that's I don't have the deep pockets of the freaking Senate. Am I going to be a senator?
You think it's cheap to
be a president?
Get in
the
House?
I'll wiggle my way up there in time. All right, so here's the deal. So I will represent the Philadelphia Eagles, but probably not officially like during a session in Congress. There's a woman yesterday from Ohio. Now, she's kind of representing the Eagles, but this is about the Eagles' first-round draft pick. And look, on one hand, this is funny. On the other hand, it's like, does Congress really need to be spending time on this? This is for a good chuckle. I'm not outraged. I'm playing around here a bit. It's a funny thing. She goes on for a while. We've broken it up into two parts, her starting part and her ending part. Because this actually, I'm not making this up, this actually happened yesterday from an Ohio congresswoman in the United States Congress.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to celebrate and recognize Quinyon Mitchell, a cornerback from the University of Toledo. Quinyon was recently selected by the Philadelphia Eagles with the 22nd overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Northwest Ohio is undeniably proud of Mr. Mitchell.
And she goes on and she goes on.
Northwest
and she goes
Ohio,
on.
I love it.
She goes on. I mean, look, good for Quinyon Mitchell. Don't get me wrong.
It's awesome.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But is this really what Congress is about? All right. So then she has a final.
How do you know Northwest Ohio's proud?
Well, that's what's
how do
so
you
funny.
Figure that out?
It has to, you know, why don't you say Ohio's proud of you, man? But you got to go Northwest Ohio.
Well, because she's
a rep from Northwest. I know. It just sounds ridiculous.
Guarding her turf. Look, you know the deal. When LeBron, the whole thing, Akron and Cleveland, it was like a thing.
It was a thing. You're right.
I mean, us in Pittsburgh, we don't get along.
No, I know.
I mean, we had Rendell versus
a good point.
Freaking
good point.
We had Lynn Swann versus Rendell election.
You're right.
For the governorship.
Yeah.
All right, this congresswoman had a final salvo as she wrapped up.
I want to congratulate, with heartfelt congratulations, Quinyon Mitchell for his remarkable achievements. He truly embodies the spirit of excellence that the University of Toledo and Northwest Ohio strive to achieve. We all know Quinyon will continue to make us proud as he shines on the national stage. Go Rockets! Go Quinion, go Birds. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
There you
I yield
go.
Back.
Go Birds. I yield the floor. It. How about that?
That's what was where, that about? Like,
who knows?
how is Quinion
sure
Mitchell relevant
they
to
they provided a citation to Quinion
oh,
or something.
You know what, John? I'm glad you brought this up. And Seltzer, this really goes, as you being the producer of the show, this really goes in your wheelhouse. But I'll put this out there to all city councilmen and city council women that are listening. The hammer, I mean, like, the hammer is 3 wins away from 250.
Oh, my God. Don't you
I
dare.
Believe
Don't
a
you
citation,
nope. Nope.
Not the kind you get when you have a traffic nope. citation.
Nope. Would be good.
A commendation.
Can someone give him a ticket?
No!
A commendation of some sort is warranted in 3
Joe,
weeks.
Don't say that.
When
reprimand
I get to victory
him.
250.
Reprimand him for the haughty display.
Listen, John, 250?
250? A ticket. Actually might be merited.
Seltzer, talk to somebody that knows somebody.
I will
behavior.
Not talk to anybody. In fact, if I know anybody, I will tell them to tell people to ignore this and to fight against this
Philadelphia
outrage.
City Council, beware. The hammer says one of you should step forth and honor me in a couple weeks. Let's go to phones. Sorry. Let's go to Chuck.
We can dump that.
Trust me when I tell you there's a lot of shame right here.
How about this one?
You should keep your mouth shut.
Let's go to Chuck in Cherry Hill. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, crew. How you doing? Everybody good?
Chuck. We're having fun today,
I don't
Chuck.
Know.
Yeah,
what is wrong
show.
With this guy?
Always good show. Good vibe, baby. You're always vibing. Ruben's comment, I hear him, and I love Harper. This is not a criticism whatsoever. But if you let war win, and we haven't defeated war. I know it annoys people, but at the end of the day, it's quarterback rating in football. War in baseball holds value. Yeah, Schmidt was 107. Harper could double his current war and still not catch Schmidt. So it's a bit outrageous, but I understand where he was going. The other component, Schmidt's going to get a lot of credit for his D war. He was so good at third base.
Of course.
Harper's not going to have enough gravity to ever end up, I mean, he's doing terrific at first base, leading all first basemen.
Yeah.
To his credit, man.
You're saying, Mike, that much better at third
that
base?
That much better.
That
and,
for sure.
Yeah, John, great. And we took him for granted in this regard. I mean, I'm 70, so I saw his whole career. It just never seemed to have the exclamation point that Harper puts on things. Well, postseason's huge, but Schmidt was just so consistent. It wasn't 50 home runs. He was always 38 to 42.
Right.
He was just consistent every year. Didn't hit 330. When you have guys that don't hit that high batting average threshold, you have a tendency not to remember them as much, you know? But anyway, love Harper, and he's going to have a great career here. How will he do when he gets older? That's going to mean a lot.
Yeah.
He only put up one big war. His 15 season was
But Chuck, you know what Bryce has done? 2 years in a row, he's been electric in the postseason.
Oh, man, absolutely.
And I get really frustrated when people focus on the final game or two, and that call comes in every, like, well, what did he do in game
so
seven?
It's so annoying.
Like, he batted, whatever, 350 or something, whatever the hell it was. He's hitting home runs and RBIs all over the place. And, like, an 0-for-4 in the final game, oh, he's not clutch. Enough.
And he hit one to the wall. Like, it wasn't like,
enough.
You know,
enough.
Yeah,
Chuck, he's a great player.
Can I give you one quick thing before the question?
Sure.
You were mentioning some of the pinnacle numbers the Phillies are putting up.
Yeah.
They just crossed this threshold. They are now, this does not happen, this is like one every 10 years. They are now 5.08 offense runs per game. Now, remember, the 08 team didn't do that. The 80 team didn't do that. The 11 team didn't do that, okay? The 93 team did. All-time ever is 2007. At 5.5 runs per game, and 8 guys over 800 OPS. That's crazy. Remember, Rollins had 20 triples that year.
He sure
but
did.
The Phillies right now have plus 20 run differential over the Braves, and that'll get you the gold star at the water cooler today. Nobody would ever say.
No, they're doing great.
Chuck, you said 8 guys over 800.
No,
800 OPS. That's if you want me to, I'll name
no,
them.
Seven.
No,
no,
no, we're
no,
good.
Seven.
Yeah,
sorry.
Chuck, give me an answer for the animal in a scene.
I'm way out of whack here. Toto hopping out of the basket on Wizard of Oz with Dorothy's.
Wow. That's interesting. So gets out of the basket, and that is to help me remember this. Oh, to go like bite the Wicked Witch.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The mean woman in the air.
Answer.
Out. Yeah, yeah. And then they're gonna take Toto from her, and they do take Toto from her. Oh no, that's after they take Toto. So she's with the mean woman, and then Toto leaves to go back to the house, and then the tornado comes in, and then you know we're in Oz. All right. Let's get to something here related to the NFL that has flown way. John, you put all that together?
I can't remember Toto's every move.
Toto's
like, how do you remember?
I haven't seen The Wizard of Oz in like 25-plus years.
Step-by-step details.
Yeah, that was pretty.
No, I got all that.
Intricate.
Annie I remember M that there was a dog.
Uncle
Maybe
Henry.
30 years since I've seen Wizard of Oz.
All right. The NFL. Storyline that's gone pretty far under the radar the last couple weeks, but could become a big one in future years. So Goodell, again, is talking about 18 games.
Yeah,
but now he's doing it with an addendum. The NFL has now publicly come out, and this went back a couple weeks ago. Goodell was on a show talking about this. He says they are really looking into the possibility of the Super Bowl being pushed back another week.
Mm-hmm.
So it times up with President's Day weekend. Mm. So all Americans, or let's put it, many Americans.
Not us.
No, we would work. But most Americans would get the Monday off.
It's amazing.
So they want to make the Super Bowl the day before a holiday. They want to add an extra game. And there
was
is
this part of the plan all along to
of course,
make it,
well,
seem
of course it
so
of course.
Appealing.
Of course.
With this extra day off now, that everyone can get behind
now
it.
Now, to be clear, they're, if they
even
go.
Even though it's costing the health
well,
of,
yeah.
these, of your franchise.
But remember,
in many
the players voted for it.
Yeah, and they will again because it's more money.
Dividing
they'll vote for it again.
Yeah, the veterans
to concede to it.
The veterans making $25 million voted against it, and the guys making $500,000 yes. voted for it.
Yeah. And there's a lot more of those guys than the $25 million.
That's
guys.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's really fascinating because one of the other elements to this is they're talking about if they go to 18 regular season games, and obviously this isn't going to happen like next year, but it's something that certainly could happen in the next 5 to 10, 15 years. If they go to 18 games, they would then take the preseason down to 2, so you'd still have your 20-game structure. Yeah. But they're talking about perhaps implementing a second bye in the regular season, which you may remember they had briefly a couple of years back. It was not good. It was a second bye in a 16-game slate.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about a second bye in an 18-game slate, and that's how they would get to President's Day weekend and the Super Bowl on the Sunday before President's Day.
Well, sure. We know that the body can hold up to this. Because what you once upon a time asked guys to do was play 16 weeks and 4 weeks in the preseason where they would play half of those games. The preseason games, you would actually play half.
That's right.
And then, you know, the postseason, if you're on a good team, my teams were playing 2-3 more games every year. It is doable. It's functional. They talk all the time about doing what's best for the players, their health. And everything.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Along those lines, you can't possibly say adding another game is better for these players in any way.
But it does make the players and the owners richer. And at the end of the day, owners,
that's why they're going to do it.
I mean, owners are pigs. How many times have I said it? They just stuff their pockets. They're pigs.
Right.
So I think it'll happen someday.
I think it's a lock.
It'll happen.
100% it's
going to
happen. They're talking about it.
Yeah.
He's putting it out there. That's laying the groundwork. Like, he's not going to talk about it and not do it. I think they were thinking 18 when they went to 17. Like, I think it was always 18.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted the even number, the whole thing.
I agree.
Well, yeah, 17 is
why
a bad
would
number.
You? Right. Why would you make the move to go to 17?
Yeah.
18 is the ultimate goal.
Look, it's probably going to happen. And I'll say this. When they went from 16 to 17, I was against it. You guys know I'm a traditionalist. I don't like much change.
What?
I have come around on this one. I mean, I've enjoyed it.
I don't hate it either. Yeah. I thought I would hate it more. And look, I've said for years I thought that Monday after the Super Bowl should be a holiday. So like,
right.
Yeah.
Sure,
I do like
I'm good with that.
Well,
man.
Here's the other thing they would really do if they do this. They would be attacking. So the deadest period from a sports standpoint is generally considered either February or July. July, all you
All-star
have.
All-star break, essentially.
Well,
July.
Yeah, but the whole July, all you have all is baseball. July. You have baseball, and that's it. You don't have basketball. You don't have hockey, and you don't have football yet. And the guys aren't even in training camp until, like, July 25th. So, like, July is considered sort of a deadish time. February, a deadish time. I mean, NBA and NHL regular season, but, you know, football's over. Baseball
What's
hasn't started.
What's going on with your
armpit? That was a non sequitur.
I know. I'm sorry to interrupt.
What?
It seems like.
Did I scratch it?
Yeah. He's got an armpit issue Ooh. Today.
Uh-oh.
Joe. Has,
I've not noticed
no,
that.
No, he's been going
and I'm in
for
the same
it.
Room.
Like, it's really given him
I didn't
problems.
Know, I didn't know that.
But can you feel it now?
Well,
you've got some discomfort.
I notice
in the
now, but I'll also
well,
say.
What's going on, man?
Well, first, before I answer that.
Where did he get the effrontery?
I'm sorry. I'm just paying
I don't know,
attention,
I guess.
And it seems like you got an
I
issue.
Just got to that part in The Sopranos, or I watched it a few days ago. It's hilarious. Right, right. Especially because the best part is it's such a reasonable. Like, Tony's saying you can sell the drugs wherever you want, just don't do it on this one garbage truck route so that feds don't get us. And they're like, this is the worst thing you've ever done to us.
And,
it's great.
And, the effrontery.
And Junior comes out with.
Where did he get the effrontery?
So
I
great.
Love it.
It's
I love
so
it. I don't know. I think my armpits are fine. If I was scratching it was inadvertent. I'll say that. Mm. But I don't know. Maybe I need a little more deodorant. Let's go to Richard right now. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
I'm good. Joe's armpit might not be.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, so first time caller here. I just wanted to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to talk
Richard,
about Phillies
Richard, that's awesome.
A bit.
Like, I really don't think we draw enough attention to that. This is the first time we've ever talked to Richard.
Well,
that's
I'll tell
really
you
cool.
what, as a first time caller, it takes a bit of grit to stay on the phone for about an hour.
I'm
so.
Sure.
Yeah, I know.
So but, we appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, Thank absolutely. You. So I wanted to talk about the Phillies, and I also wanted to touch on the Sixers a little bit with the Paul George, LeBron, Jimmy Butler stuff. So as far as the Phillies go, I think we're winning games that we should win. And sometimes in the previous seasons, you don't see that. You see that they kind of, like, you know, they're nail biters. But, you know, everyone's hitting the ball well. Trey Turner going out stinks. But, you know, Castellanos is coming up, which seems good. But I'm hoping, you know, when Trey Turner gets back, he stays that way because, you know, we're going to be a hard team to beat. As
so
far
exciting.
As the Sixers go, yeah, I know. It really is. As far as the Sixers go, though, I, as much as I want to say bring back Jimmy Butler, it's hard to, you know, with the history, even though he is on good terms with Embiid, to bring him back. I think LeBron now, as long as we got his son in the draft, I think we're ahead of the Lakers this year. I think he's become a good role player. I mean, he's not putting up the stats he used
well,
to.
Well, hold
but...
on. LeBron's more than a role player. LeBron would be, if I had – look, he's obviously top three on this team if he joins them. I would guess that he would slide in below Embiid and before Maxey. If I had a – but it's close.
I don't know.
It's close.
Just, yeah.
It's close.
Him and Tyrese sort of taking on the same yeah. amount of responsibility.
I mean, LeBron would be coming down. Right. Maxey would be coming yeah. up. It's all – all three of them would be pretty close. But, yeah. but Richard, you can't call LeBron at this stage – a role player. You might call him a role player in 2 or 3 years. He wouldn't be a role player next year.
Fair. But I do think we need to bring back some of the guys. I'm not sure if it was the morning crew or the afternoon crew, but someone mentioned
Kelly.
You know,
I want Kelly.
Well, sure. But he's going to get paid more money. We'll see if they do it.
Especially with the lack of free agents this season.
Totally
like Kelly's going to get money.
He is going to get money.
He's going to get paid.
He could get a $3 or $30 million
That's
deal.
My, but yeah,
I'm fine with
maybe
that.
More. Yeah.
All right, Richard, give me an answer here. A TV show or a movie, a scene with an animal?
I'm going to go with the gopher from Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Good scene.
I guess the
scene. I just
scene,
don't like him.
I don't either.
I think he makes the movie worse.
Yeah, everyone thinks that.
Yeah,
it's the bad one
stuff.
Bad part
well,
in the movie
like
is
did.
The gopher.
Well,
he likes the
well, the end scene is great. Now, he didn't specify end scene, but, I mean, I will say, the frickin' flag comes out of the frickin' thing. They win. The music starts. The frickin' judge is all ticked off.
Hey, did you ever set up? Did you ever set up dominoes? You know how that's sort of like a big domino falling down type thing at the end of that?
Well, things implode.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like domino table setups. That was a huge
sure.
thing at one point.
So you did this, right?
I loved it.
What age?
I don't know. I mean, that was early 80s, wasn't it? It felt like...
Well, they're still around, believe
yeah,
it or not.
Yeah, for what... You were in the early 80s.
You
cool.
and Jen.
It felt like
I'm
it was
guessing
popular.
The people before and the people
this
after.
Guy, this guy right here. I tell you... It,
Have you seen anyone doing this lately?
Gruden must have had a field day with him. I would say
I see him in videos.
Dominoes like, have been reduced in society.
Rube Goldberg like machines. You'll see him as part of those a lot.
People play with their phones. That's where society is. You're in the phones. I mean,
it just seems like such a dumb thing to do now, that to waste all that time getting a bunch of boxes of Dominoes.
But John,
if you can do it on your phone.
But you know what it is? It's curiosity. It's like, I don't think there's the curiosity factor as much in society, because everyone, I do it too. Look, I dig into my freaking phone. But I mean, you know, I don't know, man. Too much in the phone. All right, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. We got a couple poll questions to get to. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2024 Chevy Trax, arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, we got to clean up the 7 o'clock hour poll. We're looking for the best fictional mom ever. This goes back to yesterday's show. We've broken them up into three different categories. The 7 a.m. hour poll, John, was best fictional mom, Sarah Connor, Lorraine McFly, or Stifler's mom. John, who do you think won this poll?
I think Sarah Connor wins.
I thought she would. She does not.
Okay, Stifler's mom.
We got some horny dogs out there.
I thought Sarah Connor would and should
Sarah
win.
Sarah Connor should be the winner.
Well, I would have voted for Connor.
Stifler's.
Look at what she did. She saved the world,
Saved
guys.
The world. No big deal.
Look at what Stifler's mom did, man. Look what she did. All right.
No one believed her. No one believed her, and she knew. She just kept saying, "Yeah, you're all going to be upset when this happens."
All right. So Stifler's mom advances to the finals. She'll be against Mrs. Cunningham. And one more result we'll get to in the 9 o'clock hours. We open up our third poll of the day. Which of these is the best mom? Peg Bundy, Mother Nature, or Marge Simpson?
Mother Nature? Is so intriguing.
John,
I'm not going to say anything.
John's trying to influence the result.
We'll see
where it goes. We'll see.
Interesting.
So get voting on that as well. Of course, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. James, let's get to the audio of Kenny Gainwell. It's been a little bit of time since we played it. You know, we've referenced this throughout the show. I mean, unbelievable that Kenny Gainwell, he of all people, you know, backup running back goes here. Eagles have had, to a large extent, a good offseason. Now, the Hassan Reddick thing, I think, is still highly confusing. But a lot of things that have happened have been positive. You know, they're trying to put in the rearview mirror the nonsense of the mess that they, whoever the they is, collectively created down the stretch last year. And just when you feel like a lot of that stuff is in the rearview mirror, Kenny Gainwell this week brings it up again, which makes us wonder, you know, what exactly was the problem and will it still linger? Did they solve the issue or not? Who was the culprit or culprits? Where was the issue and is it solved? Well, Kenny Gainwell stirred it all back up again this week.
What do you think it was that caused that sudden change?
I think it was a connection piece. You know, I say teams like the Chiefs, bro, are like well connected. You know, upstairs and downstairs. You know, front office and the locker room. Like everybody's connected. When you got that connection piece, bro, everything just click. When you know. You got guys that's not talking to each other, then, you know, you never know what's going on, you know. So, like, if we all sit down and talk to each other and find out what's going on, or we find out what we need to do on the field to, you know, get this thing going, then, you know, we'll be good. Because if we play real hard at the beginning of the season, we need to continue to play hard at the end of the season, because at the end of the season, what really matter. That would really matter, because when we get to the playoffs, we're not playing good. And we still got our head down because we just lost 5 games, which then we'll do in the playoffs.
I wish everyone could see John looking over me during that. Like, John has a head just shaking with disgust of just, like, what in the world is going on here? John, your thoughts when
I just,
you hear that?
Look, I don't know. The fact that he's a running back, like, this is certainly in my realm if I'm a player on that team, because I would be able to talk to him. Like, I would take him aside as a back and say, listen, man. What in the world? Let's never, ever do this again. The talking on the pod about anything from last year.
In his
talk
defense.
About the future moving forward.
Kenny Gainwell's defense. Do we even know what podcast it was?
No.
He probably didn't guess that, you know, WIP was going to pick
it
up. And
probably not.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. You say anything these days.
He's not a super high-profile player.
No, but you say anything these days, it can go out there.
Well, and I'm sure he's about to learn that.
I think he found out yesterday.
But my point is, I don't totally fault Kenny Gainwell for, like, saying – he probably shouldn't have said it, but for not really thinking of that.
Look, here's where I'm at on the Gainwell thing versus the big picture. The Gainwell thing is, it's not good, in my opinion, for him in that locker room, in that organization, and it could jeopardize his spot. I mean, for a guy that, you know, Saquon's in front of him and they just drafted a rookie running back, you know, Kenny Gainwell, I think, would have made it and probably still will, but could
why?
Get cut.
Why would he have made it? Like, he hasn't done anything to me that says he's special to where he should be preserved. Like, this is now a distraction.
But, John, you got to two
if
different issues.
If this becomes a distraction more further, like, there's no reason to keep him around based on his play.
Here's what I'll say. Prior to this happening, I think it's fair to say Kenny Gainwell was one of the three top running backs on the team. You're going to keep three backs. You got Saquon, you got Gainwell, you got the new guy from Clemson. Now, if door number four knocks, yeah, then he might have a problem. But if door number four doesn't knock, then he might get saved. My point is, though, here's the deal on the Gainwell front. Like, yes, it's not good for him in that organization. No question. And, Devin, to your point, he probably didn't think it was going to – but, like, you got to have greater awareness. It is what it is. All right. My bigger point today is not about Gainwell. It's about what this says about 2023 and how we project it for 2024. I mean, the Gainwell thing is interesting. I'm not pushing it aside. Like, Drew called up earlier and said, I don't want to talk about Gainwell. That's not accurate. I do want to talk about Gainwell. My point is, let's not let the Kenny Gainwell discussion override that he's peeling back something, that there was something horrendous with the 2023 Eagles. And what matters most right now is that horrendousness does not fester for 2024. Mm-hmm. Now, is it that Howie fired Desai and they made Sirianni go out there and, you know,
take the bullets,
and that could cause a rift in the locker room? Maybe. Is it that Sirianni was the one that demoted Desai, and that caused an issue in the locker room? Maybe
that the number one point that Sirianni tries to get across, my core values, number one, communicate and connect,
right,
was just horrendous. Like, well, you failed.
John, you know,
your number one directive, your core value, was a failure.
Look, you know, my theory is and again, guys, I want to be so clear, it's just a guess, okay? Is more Jalen Hurts related than anything else. I mean, it just, there seemed to be such a breakdown. And the way that offense with all that talent just went in the toilet, it just struck me like something was rotten. Now, I can't put my finger, like, totally on it, nor can I say for sure that
Brian Johnson was what was rotten, I guess.
I mean, it could be that Jalen and Brian Johnson weren't getting along. It could be that maybe people weren't happy Brian Johnson got elevated, and maybe he got elevated because Jalen was his guy from 25 years ago. Like, I'm just who knows? I mean, it could be that Darius Slay was unhappy that they brought Matt Patricia in the first place and then became his coordinator. It could be that Hassan Reddick was unhappy he didn't get a new contract, and he starts yapping to his players, his teammates, like, hey, guys, you do great around here. They're not going to give you a new contract, even though there's some stuff, evidence to the contrary. Like, it could be a combination of all of this.
It feels like it makes sense that in order to clean this up, they would try to make sure that those problematic situations were cleaned up before this season.
But they weren't.
Hassan Reddick is not here.
True. And Desai and all that.
Desai
and Patricia
is not here.
But if it was,
is no longer around.
But if it was Hurts, they weren't. Because one, they should still invest in his future, because we saw enough in 22 to believe this is a guy that could be a great quarterback for 10 years. I say could be, not will be, could be. The second thing I'd say is, just from a contractual standpoint, with the contract they gave him, there was no way they were moving off of Hurts after 2023. There was no way. So if it was a Hurts issue,
the others were disposable.
Correct.
He was not.
Now, and again, I find it very notable. Sirianni was disposable. They stood by him. They stood by him. That was a decision.
But it took them 9 days.
I know it did.
To determine whether it was the right move.
Which also makes me wonder, is it a Sirianni-Hurts relationship issue?
Yes.
I think so, too. Just a guess.
That's part of it. I mean, I do think it's other relationships also, but that is a problematic part of this whole thing. That's
right
at the core.
And here's
of this
and here's
and I'm,
my,
again, I'm guessing.
Right. But here's
what it feels
but
like.
But here's my point. When Sirianni and Howie speaks, and like, no one's going to convince me nothing happened. I mean, I had a team that went from 10-1 to 1-6. I got Britton Covey saying stuff. I got freaking Kenny Gainwell saying stuff. And I got my own eyes. All right, my own eyes told me something wasn't right.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.